You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire. What's up, Justin?
Yes, Taiwan's local election over the...
Taiwan's
local election over the weekend brought disastrous results for the ruling Democratic Progressive Party. Out of the 22 elections for the head of the local authorities, the DPP lost a half of their mayorships from 13 to 6, while the opposing Kuomintang, or the Chinese Nationalist Party, doubled their current gain from 6 to 15. And I looked into what contributed to the result, and spoiler alert, China contributed to quite a large part to it. But here's some context first. A lot of you might not know the difference between Taiwan and China, but here it is. Taiwan is not a part of China. The China we know and talk about today is called the People's Republic of China, and it was founded in 1949 after the communists won the Second Chinese Civil War. But the official name for Taiwan is the Republic of China, and it was founded after the last Chinese monarchy was overthrown. It's now in Taiwan because the Kuomintang government lost the civil war in the 1940s and they retreated there.
各位国人同胞，大家晚安。身为执政党的主席，首先我要对今天地方选举的结果负起完全的责任。我从现在开始。
This is Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen on Saturday evening, announcing that she will bear the responsibility for ruling Democratic Progressive Party's disastrous performance in the local elections by resigning the leadership. Tsai was elected President of Taiwan in 2016 after defeating Kuomintang candidate Eric Chu. This is her talking about China in 2016, shortly after the election.
曾经承诺过我们维持现状，我们承诺不变。好，我们的善意也不变，任何的台湾政府都不可能做出违反民意的事情。
Tsai said the Taiwan government, regardless of which ruling party, always has a goodwill towards China-Taiwan relations. She also says Taiwan will not crack under Chinese pressure, but she hoped both sides can have bilateral communications to eliminate misunderstandings and find acceptable solutions. However, at the start of her presidency, Tsai immediately raised eyebrows by refusing to acknowledge the 1992 consensus. This consensus originated between unofficial meetings between China and Taiwan in 1992 in Hong Kong. It highlighted the idea, which sees both sides recognizing there is only one China, but agreed to differ on its definition. Because in the early 1990s, Taiwan is still under one-party dictatorship under the Kuomintang, critics like the Democratic Progressive Party refused to acknowledge this consensus, as they believe the agreement is only between the Kuomintang and Communist China instead of Taiwan. Unsurprisingly, China responded immediately and angrily. It started to isolate Taiwan diplomatically by providing huge financial incentives to what's left of Taipei's official allies in Central America, Africa, and the Pacific to lure them to cut their ties with Taiwan and establish official links with the mainland. Since Tsai's presidency started in 2016, countries like Panama, the Dominican Republic, Burkina Faso and El Salvador have cut ties with Taipei and opted for Beijing instead. China also used this political saga to hamper Taiwan financially through tourism, compared to the same period in 2015, during China's National Day holidays in October this year. The number of Chinese tourists entering Taiwan has dropped more than a half, and the amount of money spent by Chinese tourists have also been halved as well. These results mean that many cities, particularly in the south and east of Taiwan, like Kaohsiung and Hualien, have taken financial hits because they rely on tourism as their main industry. And this is reflected in the results of mayoral race for the city of Kaohsiung, which the Democratic Progressive Party lost the seat they have held for more than two decades. This is Han Kuok-yu, the Kuomintang candidate who won the election.
很多观光业者一直跟我抱怨，而且非常的痛苦。
Compared to the current government's line on China, Hang believed Chinese money is the only way to strengthen Kaohsiung's sluggish economy. He proposed a working group for plans to attract Chinese tourists and investment. However, China is not only the only factor that contributed to the election results. Some of Tsai's domestic policies were also poorly received. At the start of 2017, the Taiwan government announced reforms to pensions to prevent these public funds being bankrupted. These reforms, which were proposed by Tsai's predecessor, Kuomintang's Ma Ying-jeou, slashed entitlements for retiring military personnel, civil servants, and public school teachers. However, because this demographic is pro-Kuomintang, Ma often delayed in conducting the reforms. After Tsai officially implemented the cuts, it unsurprisingly led to serious backlash, and those who got the benefits slash voted against the Democratic Progressive Party with their families in this local election, even though many of them elected the Democratic Progressive Party prior. The total number of these voters ranged from 3 to 4 million, and with them located all around the country, they contributed to a large part of the result. Also, now into half her first term, many of Tsai's promises in the 2016 election are yet to be delivered, as Lin Chongpin from the National Sun Yat-sen University told Al Jazeera.
Tsai was elected in a landslide last January. Back then, expectations among her supporters were high. They liked her promises to reinvigorate the economy and increase job opportunities. A message that also played well with millennials.
People have realized that the optimism back then was overrated. But to be fair, I would say, she is encountering tremendous challenges.
So, what next for the Taiwan government? The fiasco at the local elections certainly tell one story. Despite the potential threat that China possesses against Taiwan, the Democratic Progressive Party's attempt to frame themselves in the election as the party that can save Taiwan from Chinese control has failed, and it backfired on themselves because voters are not interested into that. Instead, the government's domestic policy mishaps and the stagnant economy are put into the limelight throughout the whole election, and the DPP failed to draw it away. And because of this, Tsai must try to regain local support by strengthening the economy, but without opening too much towards China. With only 2 years before the next presidential election in 2020, time is running out for Tsai, and the DPP must produce results to prevent them from becoming Taiwan's first one-term government.
Out of the elections in Taiwan and Hong Kong over the weekend, I observed this. Sorry. While other countries in Asia this year, such as Malaysia and the Maldives, have voted out governments that are pro-China or wanted more Chinese investment.
Sound a little bit like Donald Trump there. Pro-China.
Ah, don't tell me that. Chinese-dominated areas, like in this case Hong Kong and Macau, have voted for politicians that are more welcoming towards China, and I think that is quite interesting.
Yeah, it is a cool debate. Alrighty, thanks, Justin.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.